Well, you guys did good.
Dustin forgot to hit record, so we got to do the whole thing again.
Right. No, I'm stopping recording right now.
Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. As you may notice right off the bat, this is not Tim Andrews. Welcome you to the show. It's Steph, and we got Dustin, and we got Jeff, and we got Ira dropping.
Yeah.
This is the best intro Radio Labyrinth I've ever heard.
It's so lame.
Finally, this show sounds good. I don't know what the difference is. I'm kidding, Tim.
We can all talk about Snowfall because Tim's not here.
Well, Tim is.
I can't.
Tim couldn't be here tonight, so he just said, "Do it, you circus monkeys! Get out there and put this thing on the air." So
what's he doing? He's like on a road trip or something. He's traveling up and down all over.
He was on a road trip, and Caitlin had a little bit of a dipsy doodle, and he had to come home. And she seems to be faring well, but he's on pre-dad duty tonight.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful.
Yeah. And I guess he had to book it all the way back from PA, and he got caught up in some schnurl in South Carolina that almost made him kill himself. So
I hate schnurl.
Nobody likes schnurl.
Little sour cream on it. Not too bad, but.
So anyway, if you guys are still listening beyond the fact that you know that Tim is not here, thank you. And yes. We hope to make it worth your while. Right off the bat, how was your all's weekend? Let's start with Ira. How was your many months? How have you been, Ira?
Well, I don't even remember the weekend or months. I don't remember anything.
I see you out. You and your daughters are always out at the park.
Yeah. Well, you know, got to try to get them out of the house now that it's warm and we can kind of walk around outside, right?
Yeah. I feel like you've set them up to make sure that they don't end up as strippers. They both seem very well-rounded, like my daddy loves me.
We'll see. I'm sure I'll get one of them on the pole, and then, you know, one of them will be a Cornell or something. So we'll see.
It has a way of balancing itself out.
Sure.
Yeah.
But my parents came in this weekend, so they haven't been down here or seen anybody for over a year now. You know, I haven't seen them, or so that was weird and interesting. And we still, even though everybody's vaxxed, you know, fully, we kind of took it easy, you know, going out and stuff. And luckily it was a relatively nice weekend and we got outside, but geez, you want to hear two Jewish parents complain about a hotel. You should come and hang out at my place sometimes when I have my parents.
What was wrong with the hotel? Primary complaint.
How long do we have tonight?
Was there a naked woman in the hall?
See, now that's a callback, everybody. You got to listen to the early episodes of Radio Labyrinth to understand that one. No, it's just funny. Whenever I get together with my folks, we're going to be talking about Seinfeld, or Tim's going to be talking about Seinfeld a little bit later. And that's pretty much what it is. Anytime you hang out with my parents, it's a Seinfeld episode for 72 hours.
So is it Jerry's parents or George's parents? Combo?
I'd say Jerry's.
Well, that's nice. That's not too
My
bad.
Wallet's gone. My wallet's gone.
We went to my in-laws this weekend, and it starts out as soon as you walk in the door, blah, blah died.
Oh, jeez.
And so died.
Oh, no. Blah, blah died? I don't know if I could do the show. I'm not devastated.
Blah, blah. Jeff, the entire visit there is an entire Who Died segment. That's the whole time you're there. It's Who Died with Cake. That's a visit at their parents.
She was so young.
That's very opposite of what I get. See, I get, even if blah, blah died, it would be, but everything's great. Everything's great. Let's have some cake. So the cake is still there.
Well, that is lucky to hear. Well, how about you, Dustin? How was your weekend?
It was good. Did some stuff around the house, trying to start yard stuff, but when you have a job that you're in other people's yards all week, you really don't want to get in yours on the weekend. But
I know the feeling.
Yeah. But got out there, got a few things, but mostly trying to catch up on stuff to watch. It's about the one chance I get to do it. So I caught up on a few things and mostly just took it easy.
Sounds pretty cool. Jeffrey, I'm sure you were man of mystery once again.
Been cleaning all weekend.
Good. I see it looks very tidy behind you there.
He's got the wipes.
Oh, the expensive
ones. Those are the ones for the back set. There you go. Those are the ones.
Oh, well, my weekend was blah. I mean, I kicked it off Friday. I went to the doctor and I've been having some issues with my eating, like too much. And so I go to the doctor.
We're American, Steph. This is what we do.
Well, you know, it's my coping skills. I'm a binger. And anytime I'm faced with tragedy, I always binge. And I haven't been able to get it under control. So I thought, let me see if I can get some mother's little helper. So I go to the doctor Friday and I said, so, I want to lose weight. And can you give me something to lose weight? And she says, do you know that you're beautiful? And I said, I do not. And she said, well, you are, because you are a child of God.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you going to give me the diet pills or not, lady? Yeah. And it bugged me because I don't care what you believe, but I just feel like I don't like God mixed with my sciencey stuff.
Well, with anything that's business wise, you know?
Yeah.
Unless your church is a business.
My doctor told me he said, don't eat anything fatty. And I said, what, like fried chicken or donuts and stuff? He said, no, don't eat anything fatty.
That's good. Well, so did you start quoting Bible verses just so you could get your damn pills?
I did not. I
would have been like, the Lord unto the, can you give me the pills? 3:16. Thank you.
I was going to start speaking in tongues and like throwing olive oil at her, making little crosses on her forehead and stuff. But I was like, it's just not my bag, but thank you. Can I have my pills? And she said, okay.
So did you start that?
I did start taking them.
Speed, y'all.
Right. You seem very vibrant tonight.
Well, that's only because I'm nervous because Tim's not here and I'm expected to do this. So
you're doing great.
Yeah, hit the meth pipe a couple times and then come back.
Oh, it's over here. It's loaded. And I'm not sharing with you either. You'll have to go in to my God doctor and get them yourself.
Were you concerned when you had to fill your prescription at a trap house?
Well, thank you, doctor. I'm not a doctor.
You had to know Mark 12:13 in order to get the prescription. But anyway, well, so, last week we had Mike, our best buddy from Atlanta Pizza and Euro, on to talk about our upcoming fun times that we're going to be having on Sunday, May 16th from 2 to 5. Ira, do you think you'll be able to make it? Bring the kid?
I'm going to try,
Awesome. Well,
I got some family in Conyers. I'm going to make it a twofer, possibly, if I can make it. But I'll let you know.
That's right. I forgot your old lady's from Conyers, right?
Yeah.
I keep forgetting to tell John Mark that we're doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll text him.
Bring his guitar. Ira, you should bring the harmonica. That way we can have some music.
Nobody wants to hear that. But believe me. And how am I gonna eat that delicious food that Mike makes with a harmonica in my mouth? That is not gonna work.
If Lizzo can dance and play the flute, you can eat pizza and play the harmonica.
Now, what's the deal though? It's like so Mike's making food, right? But it's gonna be like a private event.
They're usually closed on Sundays, which they are closed to the public. It's just for us radios.
Yeah.
We can roll up on the set. He's going to have 5 different pizza stations with a few different choices. And then he's going to have
it's going
to be very pandemic friendly with some easy on food service gloves to that way everybody's not monkeying around and noodling each other's food. And, for anybody that wants to bring a dessert, anything that you want to bring that's sweet, please bring it. But the whole thing is only $8 per person.
Oh,
eat your guts out.
No way.
Edibles are encouraged. Is that what
you're
saying?
$5 for kids.
To be.
Is it $5 for kids?
Yeah. $8 a person and $5 for a non-person.
Yeah. Kid. Free soft drinks, and he's going to have beer. You have to buy the beer, so it's not free, but you can get loaded if you want. Mike's going to have it all nice. There for you. So please come out Sunday, May 16th from 2 to 5. We'd love to see all you guys. I know a lot of people responded and said that they were all about this. So
sweet.
We were really looking forward to seeing it. So
I might bring my kids, but I don't want to expose them to you radios.
There's gonna be other kids there.
You gotta help Tim get ready for this whole thing.
Bunch of creeps. Yeah. Corrupting my kids. Anyway, I'll bring them, but I'll say, look, you guys go sit over there and eat. Don't talk to any of these people because there's a bunch of
I'm doing a pole dancing class in the back. If one of your daughters wants to start.
Go see Jeff. Jeff said he wanted to see you. He's in the back. I don't know what he's doing, but yeah, go back there.
That sounds terrible. So we'll just get right into it. I know that Tim has got an interview coming up, though.
Yeah.
So.
You want to listen to that now?
This is a terrible segue for it.
But, well, can we intro the interview? Because we know what it's about, or just let him
It's up to Dustin where he wants to put it in the episode, because Dustin's editing it.
Or are we fucking this up already?
So bad. So okay. Bad.
That's okay. We can drop it. We can drop it in right there. We're good. I'm gonna take it right from where you said Tim's got an interview. We'll roll right into it.
Let's just leave it at that. So why don't we get into what everybody watched this week?
Have Jeff do his
Do a pause and then have him do the we're back.
And pause
and we're back.
Okay, so what did everybody watch this week?
Who starts?
You want to go first, Iris, since you haven't been here in a while?
Oh, and since I haven't watched shit, we can get mine.
Yeah, let's knock yours out.
Out of the way. I've been watching Mayor of Easttown.
I watched the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
You haven't seen the second. What did you think, Jeff?
It was okay. I'm going to keep watching it because I like what's his name? The dude at the bar. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Guy Pearce?
Guy Pearce, yeah.
Yeah.
I like
Who's
Pearce.
The lead? What's the
It's Kate Winslet. And
just
by two episodes. I mean, look, she's a great actor. You know, she really is. I mean, people might break her balls for whatever, but I'm in the second, you know, I watched the second episode and whew, yeah, she has got some heavy scenes. It's a bleak show. You know, it's one of those HBO detective bleak, true detective-y kind of shows, but not as, you know, wacko. It's pretty straightforward. But, you know, one of the reasons I'm into it is because it takes place outside of Philly and, you know, those are my people. Yeah. You know? So everybody on this show, I'm like, yep, I know that guy. Yep, I know that. I hung out with that guy in high school, you know. So, I mean, I was on the Jersey side. This takes place, I think, you know, west of Philly. And listening to Kate Winslet doing, you know, saying hoagie, you know, and all that Philly talk. I mean, it's pretty good. But it's intriguing. It's done well so far. You know, it's not dumbed down at all. It's one of those detective shows that, you know, you really have to, it's like a character study. All the characters, it's like a character study, you know. It's a real drama with detective stuff thrown in.
Watching.
Yeah. And then, you know, as far as, I know you guys are watching, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I haven't watched any of that, but, you know, I'm not a superhero show movie guy. I don't watch this stuff. I don't watch Marvel. I watched WandaVision, and I know we talked about this before. I got a little, you know, towards the end. So, no, I didn't pick this one up.
You know? It was a fun show. It's very messagey.
Is it?
Yeah. Which,
it's not a bad thing, I guess. If that's what they had this platform and that's what they want to use it for.
Yeah, they want you, huh?
I was more into it to see the Falcon beating people up and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were trying to use the whole show as a way to ease into, for lack of a better explanation, a black Captain America. It was going to be a jolt. And he even says it in the show very prominently, you know, at the end. You know, it was a way that America, you know, he knew that there were people, you know, millions of people watching right now that, you know, that hate the fact that he's in that costume. And he's there to, you know, to prove that, and that's what the whole thing was for. It was for you know, them to say, this is where we're at now. This is, you know, this can be possible. And, you know, like it or not, you know, America, you know, Captain America, you know, is who he is, and it's more about what he stands for. And I thought they brought it over well without being, because they could have been a lot worse, you know, right, with pushing it
they,
down.
They had that, they have the, had the white guy fuck up as Captain America before the black guy could take over.
Don't you? But do you guys sometimes feel like you live in La La Land because you don't ever think that that's not a possibility? Like, it doesn't seem a big deal to me at all that Captain America would be black. Like, I don't
either. I mean, yeah. Well, I agree. I think it's they're trying to reach out and cover the people that they don't know. You know, it's trying to like cover all their bases. And this is a way that they could, you know, hey, we put it out there. We explained everything. So no one that has any decent, you know, any decency should be objecting to this, because it lays it out very, very well. Like you were talking about, Steph, about the other super soldier, the one that was in prison for a while. Yeah. I mean, that all comes back around, and it all makes a little more heartfelt sense, you know, towards the end.
You can't have zero reaction when they introduce a character to you that doesn't look like what you're normally used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they did it in the comics. Care. I mean, the comics have been doing that stuff for years.
Right. And, you know, I think they expect people to kind of to be this big thing, like, oh my God, I can't believe. But I think they just kind of go, oh, okay. And then it's just game on. You know, who cares? You know, when I heard Idris Elba was in the running for being 007, right? Is that still going on? I mean, it was kind of a thing that made you go, oh, okay.
But to me,
we don't care.
It'd be more like if Captain America had Down syndrome.
Yeah.
I mean, now that would be like, wow.
Yeah.
Captain America has Down syndrome. Yeah. I mean, like, holy shit.
Doing the color thing it's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, though, is Captain Falcon able to get a loan or not?
Yeah, no, I thought that was funny.
They don't need it anymore because they fixed the boat up, but if he needed a loan, could Captain Falcon get one? Because the regular Falcon couldn't get one.
I mean, look, Gal Gadot proved that Wonder Woman could be a woman. So we can
finally
accept this. Yeah, I know. It's about time. Right?
Well, I know before we did the three of ours, the three of us, me, Dustin, and Jeff, we all watched Invincible.
Yes.
Which is and what?
Invincible is a superhero show I think you might cartoon. Like, Ira, but it's a cartoon.
Oh, that's on Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to start it. You think I might like it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'd probably be into it.
All right, I'm going to watch it.
You'll like it.
Yeah, if you like the boys. It's very dark and gritty. Yeah. And J.K. Simmons as the hero villain dude is...
Anyway. Tons of blood, though, and even though it's animated, don't it's not for kids.
Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah,
I love. I'll try that.
I loved the last episode. I don't know if you guys were really into it.
Yeah, is that how many more are left?
I think there's only one left.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Right, I'll catch up. I promise.
Yeah, they've got to explain.
Why is he doing this?
Why is he doing it? Yeah, and it just—it's weird that's the one question that they haven't broached at all. And but they've done everything else. I mean, all these other characters have come so full circle. I mean, Robot, and especially Robot. But man, that was interesting, to say the least. I'm kind of interested to see where it's gonna go, because it'll obviously open it up for the next season. That'll probably kick off, so it'll probably just be the end of it.
Yeah,
and cliffhanging it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about where it's going to go. I think they've done such a good job with unraveling this mystery to where they still have not given you the final thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's been masterful. And so all three of us watched Mortal Crap Fest.
Yeah.
I had never seen any of the other movies or played the video game, so I really had no idea what was going on. I enjoyed the movie not having any knowledge of it.
That's on HBO too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also, you know what I mean?
It seemed okay. It was a little confusing. Like, they have this big meeting, like, okay, we're all going to take on our individual dudes, and then we'll go get Sub-Zero together. And then, like, 2 seconds later, one guy is fighting Sub-Zero. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah. they were, from what I gathered, they were trying to, because all of this is leading up to Mortal Kombat, which still never happened.
Right.
They led you all, through the whole movie. They lead you up to a tournament possibly starting, but all it is kind of like build up. And they had a lot of fan service. You know, a lot of characters were brought in that were, you know, never brought in before. A lot of them were changed a lot, like the lizard guy. It was actually supposed to be a guy, not an actual just robot lizard. But, you know, some of the other characters had some weird arcs. But what was funny is the one character that was hated the most in the first two movies was Kano. And to me, that was the best character in the whole movie.
Dustin,
was the one with the laser eye.
But Dustin, when Kano said life is like a box of chocolates, I almost kicked my fucking TV off the stand.
You kept watching after that?
We just fast forwarded to the fights after that. I was like, fuck you guys.
Well, it should have been the first 10 minutes and the last 20 minutes into a 30-minute short film, and it would have been fine.
Fair enough. I mean, some of the battles, the fights that they did have were pretty good. And they really, to me, they flim-flammed you. Because that 7-minute preview that they gave you was a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
Because then it just went into this whole other thing.
Was the preview the first 7 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. So right up to where Sub-Zero and Scorpion started fighting.
You need to watch Kingdom then on Netflix.
You know, I've started to watch that, Jeff. I think I'll give that a try.
That's what that first 7 minutes reminded me of.
I have watched Kingdom. What am I saying? With the zombies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is really good. Is yeah, good? Definitely watch Kingdom.
All right, this is. I need some new stuff because I'm running out.
You're getting it right here, Ira. And the other thing that we all three watched was Cruel Summer, which I didn't even know about this, Jeff. You were texting Dustin. You were like, "Watch Cruel Summer." Everybody watched Cruel Summer. How did you even know about this show? It's a trip.
It's Harley.
Get Kevin Smith's daughter.
Yeah.
The blonde friend.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the friend, the original friend.
What's this on?
The one that she was in her original three, that she was friends with, the black kid, her, and the other girl.
Oh, yeah, that's
Kevin
his daughter.
Daughter's the other girl. Yeah.
What's this on, you guys? It's on Hulu, right?
Freeform, but then they show it, I think
the next day.
Hulu. Next day.
I watched it on Hulu.
Yeah.
And it's a crazy ass show. You start to watch and you're like, oh, this is some teeny bopper shit. It's not. It's a very, very intricate story.
And it's structured really strange.
It jumps around a lot.
Really pay attention.
Yeah. It does 3 different years, but it does them on top of each other. So you have like year one is a storyline, year two is a storyline, and then I guess current is year three, and it's a storyline. And you're seeing them all at once. So it's kind of like Memento. It kind of reminded me of that, how you were seeing different sections of a story. But it's a girl, you know, a popular girl dies and another girl kind of comes in and takes the place of the popular girl in the hierarchy of high school life.
Like mean girl shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. Yeah. A lot.
Not so much dies, but. Is removed.
Well, is taken away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you find out later on in the first episode that she's not dead. Spoiler alert.
But then like the whole, it's a trip. I mean, at the end of episode two, I was like, what? So
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I think you'll like it. Cause when she, at the very beginning of it, it's her birthday. It's the first year, 2003 or whatever the hell. And it's her birthday and she's a nerd. Then a couple scene, and then the next scene, she wakes up again. It's her birthday a year later, and she's like hot.
Oh yeah.
And she wakes up again. It's her birthday a year later, and her hair's all chopped up, and she's all sad and fucked up. And it's the scene over and over, but she's changed so much in those 3 years.
Yeah, and and her parents are, you know, they're loving to her the first two, and then the last one, they're like, they wake her up on that third year.
Her mom's not even there on the third one.
Right. She wakes up, and her dad's like, "Hey, your lawyer's here."
Yeah.
She's like, "Which one?" He goes, "Does it matter?" And then, and you're like, "What the hell is, what happened in the last year?"
Oh. Right.
And then it kind of unfolds.
I felt like it had a little of the ABC Family drama kind of feel to it. Did you ever watch any of the dramas that they used to show on ABC Family, like Kyle XY?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. And Harley's got a weird Canadian accent for some reason. I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
But it's a choice,
yeah, I guess.
So what's the deal with Freeform though? Can anybody watch Freeform?
I get it on Comcast.
You do?
And it is in HD. I was worried that it was going to be like one of these channels that I only get in non-HD.
Yeah, I have AT&T streaming, so it's probably not on there. But
you can look for it and do a search for it.
I don't have Hulu anymore.
Cruel Summer.
All right. That's good stuff.
Dustin, you want to go with anything else that you watched?
I mean, actually, I think we covered pretty much everything I watched. I'm good.
Let me go back on one thing on Freeform. I heard interviews on a few different podcasts over the past week with Richard Kind.
And I heard he was on What the Fuck. I downloaded that.
It was great. Yeah, listen to him on Marin. I love Richard Kind. And so he has a new show. This could be a staff pick, even though I don't know anything about it. He has a new show that's starting on Freeform called... Well, anyway, look up Richard Kind on I think it starts this week, maybe.
Oh, I'll watch that.
So
I love
that. That's what he's promoting. So, but yeah, listen to him. He was on Corolla. That was actually really good. And then, yeah, he and Marin were great together. They didn't, I guess that they had wanted to interview each other for a while now or something, or, Richard wanted to be on Marin's show for a while, and it went well. That was good. So listen to that. He's great.
I will definitely check that out. Jeff and I, we both watched the finale of Snowfall. I felt like it fell flat. Felt like
last week's episode was better.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I didn't like the way it ended with Jerome and Louis with their bullshit that they're trying to pull. That was considering that they wanted to get out of it two episodes ago. Right. And now all of a sudden they're going to be kingpins or whatever. So I thought it ended shitty. I hope they get it back together for next season. I watched The Nevers.
Yeah.
What'd you think? How is that?
Pretty good.
Is it?
I like it.
I was thinking about watching that.
I'm on episode 3 right now.
Yeah.
I started 3.
I got kind of cheesy chills about it. I wasn't sure.
That's why I watched the first 10 minutes and then quit, because that's what I thought. It was like some Mary Poppins bullshit. But if you just keep going.
No, it's like fucking X-Men shit set in Victorian England.
It's very snappy dialogue. You really have to pay attention, and it's very quick.
It's Josh Whedon.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, it's like you can tell it's directed by an asshole. So it has that feeling to it.
Does it? That's what I want to watch.
And I'm so glad you're here, Ira, because I have rewatched Barry, all of Barry, over the last week. And this throwback to our golden days when we were watching Barry and talking about it.
Does it hold up when you rewatch
it? Better the second time.
Really?
I was so glad to have watched it all again.
Yeah.
Because it really is. It's like I forgot how... I mean, I remember it was good, but it's so good.
It's on a different
show is better the second time around. So if you've never watched Barry... Or if you have watched it, watch it again. It's too good. And now I'm rewatching Southside because they took it from Comedy Central. Now it's on HBO Max, and they're going to have a season 2 of that, which I went on and on about that show last year, and I never could get you guys to watch it. It's so freaking funny. But it's that Bashir Salahuddin, he's the one who does the Sherman Showcase, and then this is his other show that he does. It's hilarious about these rent-to-own guys that are in the hood, for better lack of terms, and they have to go and repossess people's shit all the time. And then it's also the cops that the rental dude pays to have on the payroll to protect them, and they could give a rat's ass about helping them out. But it's very funny, great character driven. And that Phil Chalmers YouTube, the one who does the Where the Bodies Are Buried podcast, he has a YouTube channel where he's interviewing these serial killers, and he's been having some new ones on lately. I think I sent you guys a text talking about where he was frying up women's ladies' parts and eating them. The guy was talking about it.
Hey, don't knock it till you try it.
It tastes like crispy bacon, and how he cut off this lady's boobs and he put them in his pocket, and he went to Hooters and he was playing with the boobs in his pocket while he was eating these chicken wings at Hooters.
Okay, I don't want to, this is not for me. I don't want to hear about this. I have nightmares now.
There's a joke in Lifehack there, but I just can't find it.
Let he who has not cut off a lady's boobs and gone to Hooters cast the first stone.
I mean, you have to think, if he wasn't evil, it would be hilarious. I mean, is he funny? Is he like deeply? Is this satirical? I don't know. But anyway, if you like if you like sick shit, watch Phil Chalmers' YouTube. And my staff pick this week is, this is the best podcast. It's so much fun. It's called Welcome to Your Fantasy. And it came out at the beginning of February. It's already just finished up. But it's about the entire inception and rise and fall of the Chippendales dancers.
Oh,
it is. There's so much behind the scenes, crazy shit that happened. And it's very nostalgic, too, because they, you know,
I'd listen to that. Is that on Wondery?
It's on. Yeah. Well, it's on any of your pod things. It's,
I know, but did they produce it?
Gimlet.
Oh, Gimlet.
Did they talk about that time they almost hired Chris Farley?
They don't, but they do play that clip. They play that clip. And they talk about how it infiltrates the American culture and just the whole transition from when it came out in 79 to what it became and all of the dark shit, all of the seedy, shady crap that happened in the background of it. I'm only on episode 3 and there's 9 episodes and it keeps getting more and more wild.
Jeff, they didn't ask you for an interview for your time?
Yeah, they should have.
82 or whatever it was.
So is that all your stuff, Steph?
Yeah, Jeffrey, roll out your barrels here.
I watched the Oscars. That was weird.
Oh, yeah. Anybody else watch that?
No, probably not.
Nope. What was it, Jeff? I didn't even like read about it.
They did it in like a fucking train station, like a giant Grand Central Station kind of thing. I don't know what the hell it was called, but they just had little pods of people, like families together and, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife groups together. And a lot of people weren't there. And they didn't do Zoom at all. So if you weren't there, they just said, hey, and we're accepting this on Anthony Hopkins' behalf.
And didn't Soderbergh direct this and just said, you know what, we're doing a lot of things different. And I don't know. You think he kind of effed it all up or what?
They tried to make it a spectacle and make it fun to watch and stuff. But it wasn't a lot of fun. And they did Best Picture before Best Actor and Best Actress.
Yeah,
like usually Best Actor and Best Actress are first, and then that the final big thing of the night is Best Picture. But
we're going to switch it up this year.
Yeah. It wasn't worth it, I don't think.
Yeah, jeez.
But if you weren't watching the Oscars, what you should have been watching was the biography of Rowdy Roddy Piper over on A&E. So fucking good.
I've
heard that was great.
2 hours. It was fucking fantastic. They touched on his acting career. They interviewed Keith David about the fight scene. They talked to fucking John Carpenter, and they touch on the rock and wrestling, and they talk about the Mr. T shit, how Rowdy Roddy Piper hated Mr. T in real life.
Yeah,
it was fucking great. Yeah,
dude, and you said you watched this on A&E.
Yeah, biography.
Where can you watch it? Do you know where else you could watch it now if you missed it?
Yeah, where do the normal people watch?
Yeah, I don't know if A&E does their own app or anything. And I don't know who streams their shit later on. But I'm sure it's on pay-per-view. Not pay-per-view, but like on demand for, you know, if you have cable or whatever. If you get A&E, you can probably watch it on demand.
Okay, I do. I'm dying to see this.
You can log into my app and watch it.
Oh, okay. I will do that, Jeff.
Next week is...
I'm reporting to both of you.
No, I feel bad because Jeff wants my Discovery Plus app information and Neil won't give it to me. He won't give me any passwords
password stinge.
Won't give them to me because he said he uses for other stuff. And I gave my nephew our Disney Plus password and he like tried to buy a car with it. I mean, he just went crazy. We were getting all these emails about him trying to open up shit and all this other kind of stuff. And he was never again. You'll never know another password in this fucking house.
Oh my God.
But next week is Randy Macho Man Savage on A&E on Sunday.
So they're doing one a week?
I don't know if they're going to keep doing them, but this week and next week seem like they're going to be really good ones. And I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I was into wrestling back then, like back in that day.
Yeah, when it only has that, when it only involves that time, yeah, I'd be really interested in it. Yeah.
Me too. Me too. And the season two of Dark Side of the Ring premieres May 3rd.
Nice.
And I think, yeah, and it's also 80s stuff, I think.
So check that out if you can. Let's see. And I watched the first Shadow and Bone. That's that new Netflix show.
How was it?
It was okay. It's one of these Netflix young adult kind of shows that we've seen a ton of, but this one seems interesting. There's like all the young people are cartographers, they're like map makers and shit. And there's this thing that's like a giant void that they call the fold. Like, 'cause I guess it would be in the fold of the maps that they draw or whatever. And they have to try and cross it certain times. And
sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Is it period?
It's kind of like that old timey.
Like mythical medieval.
Medieval steampunk. Shit.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
My niece, she's a big fan of the books. Or she's a huge fan.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like young teen kids were probably really into the books and shit.
Yeah.
But it was okay. I'm probably going to keep watching it. That was the only I started watching the Circle season two. The characters aren't as fun as they were season one, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Like that first season.
The first season was fun. There was some really funny people, and they were catfishing each other, and all kinds of shit was going on. And they're doing the same thing now, but just the characters aren't as intriguing as they were the first time around. They should have brought at least one person back from the first season. Like the runner up or something should have come back and played again.
Yeah.
And my staff pick is going to be another kids kind of thing, but it's called the Mitchells versus the Machine. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard Abby Jacobson on anything. She's been on like Conan and a couple other podcasts promoting it.
It comes from the girl from Broad City.
Yeah. The girl from Broad City.
And yeah. I heard her on Conan.
She's the voice of Bean on Disenchanted.
Oh, okay.
But she's a voice in this movie also, and it's like made by those guys that made the Lego movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's it coming out on?
It's on Netflix on the on the 30th, yeah.
Oh, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll check that out. It's
got Danny McBride.
Yeah, it's got a great cast. There's a bunch of people.
Abby Jacobson, Danny McBride, Maya Rudolph, Eric Andre, Fred Armisen. Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll definitely check that out.
Beck Bennett, Christy Teigen, John Legend.
What's it called again?
The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Huh.
Interesting. Jeff, I meant to ask you, did you watch that The Big Orange yet on Hulu?
No.
It's all about Nickelodeon shows.
I heard about this.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if you'd watched it yet.
Was it like a documentary?
I went to watch it the other day. I saw somebody talking about it and saying, oh, this is my childhood, all in one documentary. And I wanted to see if they did Pete and Pete on there.
Yeah, it's all late 80s, early 90s. So, which is not when I was a kid, but my sisters were kids. Right. So I would watch all those shows with them. So I knew all the shows on Nick at that time.
You can't do that on television.
That was prior to that.
That's early, yeah.
That's us. Okay. That's our age. No, this would be like Kenan and Kel and, you know,
When I stopped watching Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I
think it's a little young for me, too, but I still wanted to watch the documentary. But I watched Sasquatch.
How was that?
It was pretty decent. And Steph, you might be into it because
it looks good.
It's more of a true crime documentary than it is about Sasquatch. The thing is that these three dudes were killed and because they were drug dealers and it was back when pot was not legal, not drug dealers, but they were like growers up in Northern California. These three dudes got murdered and they blamed it on the Bigfoot.
Holy shit. I do want to see the way the trailer made it look like it's not, because I don't normally care about Bigfoot shit. It doesn't do anything for me, but this trailer actually did look like you said more of a true crime thing. It looks
it's more of a true crime story, and they throw it spiced in with some Bigfoot shit. Like they interview Bobo who we had on the podcast from Finding Bigfoot. They talked to him during this, and they talked to the one guy, the surviving guy that made that Bigfoot Patterson Gimlet movie or whatever, that film that you see.
Yeah, it was the Gimlet guy.
Bigfoot walking.
Oh, right. Okay.
But that's just like thrown in to this true crime story that the guy's trying to get to the bottom of. It was worth watching. I think it's like 3 episodes.
Yeah, I'll check that out. The last thing I watched was that I Know Why You Killed Me, which I wasn't here that week, and I was going to talk about that. That was good as shit. So if you haven't seen I Know or Why Did You Kill Me, I think that's what it's called, on Netflix. That was a trip.
Oh, the other thing I watched on Netflix was Stowaway.
That looked like it was going to be bad. I saw the trailer for that.
It was a snorefest.
Yeah, it looked terrible.
More of a snore fest than that Clooney space movie.
It's very inspired by that, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry I watched that.
Yeah,
I thought that Synchronic. A lot of people made a big deal that was so good, and I didn't.
You didn't get it?
I
thought it would be a little better. It was more like something that like Sci-Fi Channel would have made 10 years ago. Yeah,
there you go.
It kind of seemed like that.
Tapped out on it. Well, so that's everything that we watched.
Yeah. All right. Let me jump in real quick. That staff pick I was talking about, the Richard Kind thing. I just looked it up. It's called Everything Is Going to Be Okay.
I think I did read about this.
It says that Maria Bamford's in it too.
Oh, I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, so I guess I'll just tell you about the dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about the dogs.
We still got a raffle going on. It's going on for one more week. If you go to barkvilleraffle.charityraffles.org, one ticket is $20. And your prizes are you can win a $3,000 gift certificate to Lazy Boy or $2,000 in cash, $500 gift certificate or $300 in cash, $200 gift certificate, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, there's some more shit. So please just go there. The raffle tickets are $20 a piece. And I cannot stress to you enough how broke we are.
Oh, jeez.
And not just us. Yeah. Everybody. All of this good nature and happy joy shit, it is over. All the shelters are full. Even Gwinnett is filling up, which Gwinnett hasn't been full in a while. And everybody's really struggling. I'm not fostering and I feel like a piece of shit. But anyway, if you can foster, if you can adopt, if you can donate some money, if you can donate your time, please go to barkvilledogrescue.org. If you want to buy a raffle ticket, go to barkvilleraffle.charityraffles.org. Please adopt. Don't shop if you can. And woof.
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 Steph, well,
I think we did okay this week.
Who's drawing the ticket? Because I want you to put my ticket in the freezer so you know to feel around the bottom of it.
You know, I'll probably see if maybe one of the dogs will pick it out for you.
They're going to lick the tickets out of it.
All right, put peanut butter on my ticket.
That's right.
Butter your ticket. I'll put some bacon grease on your ticket, Jeff.
I'm going to put the fancy peanut butter on mine. Let's beat Jeff out. I'm going to put jelly on mine, too.
Yeah, don't put that GPC peanut butter on there. Get the real stuff. Well, guys, I had a good time.
Yeah, fuck Tim.
No. Tim, come back.
Yeah. He'll be back next show.
We should say we hope he and Caitlin are doing good, and we hope they're having happy times right now. By the time you listen to this, it's possible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I believe that everything's cool. When Texas them tonight, they're all cuddled up, nesting, getting ready for.
She's back from the doctor though, and he's home now, so all's good.
Yeah.
Good deal.
But, you know, it's Tim's baby, so there's going to be problems. Anyway, well, it was great seeing you, Ira. I'm so glad you came. Please come by more often.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Please do.
Yeah. Anyway.
And bring a game next time.
Yes. Get us a game.
The games suck. Come on.
Shut your mouth.
We all know it.
Like everybody loves the games.
We like the games.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, everybody, if you can say it at once.
Keep it canon. All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, And they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year. And we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
Remember when we all went out there when they opened? Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly.
Oh,
okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
Leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at AtlantaPizzaGyro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime.
Tell us about he should.
Backpacks and shit and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right. Hey, everybody, this is Tim. I'm on vacation, and that's why I'm not on the regular part of the show. But here I am doing an interview, and one of the first interviews I wanted to do, and I've been wanting to talk to this guy for quite a while. I've known him for, 5 years now, and works at WSB, but we'll get into that. But put together a really cool thing that's kind of caught on fire on social media, and you've seen me, if you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I like and share it a lot. Sign Peaks, which is a mashup of Seinfeld and Twin Peaks, and Jesse is my guest. Hello, Jesse, how are you doing, Mr. Brooks? And
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. A little absent mind. I've been doing yard work all morning, and
that's all right. I'm loaded up on flying biscuits, so I'm pretty much unconscious. I'm in a food coma still.
Oh, nice. Where do you live near Flying Biscuit in Atlanta?
Near Peachtree City.
Very nice. I forgot that they expanded quite a bit. Yeah. I remember when I first moved here, you had to go to the original place and then wait in line. And hopefully you got in.
Yeah.
So you're on to talk about a number of things, but primarily we're going to talk about a Kickstarter that you put together for, mm-hmm. I guess, an audio like an audio play, Seinfeld, The Other Side of Darkness. It's an audio production now. Why don't you tell me about it?
Yeah, sure. So last year when everything was locked down and there was nothing to do, I started, because I'm kind of an amateur screenwriter, I decided to write a script where the idea was, what if David Lynch wrote an episode of Seinfeld? Okay. And it just started with a little bit of like Jerry Seinfeld stand up, but with kind of a weird, dark, dreamy kind of twist to it. And Instagram page, which you mentioned is Sign Peaks, which is, it's gotten a pretty big following. And so people would reply to it and comment on it and ask for more scenes and stuff. And it just evolved into an entire thing. And before long, it was a 150 page script. So once I finished it, some people were saying, okay, when are we going to do the live table read? Like, we want to actually hear it. And I'm not about to do all the voices because I'm not the man of a thousand voices like Mr. Tim Andrews here.
I'm not and- either. I'm a man of like 20.
Well, but hey, it's more than me. I started reaching out to voice actors, found a lot of people who actually follow the page that do voices, and found musicians that wanted to write theme music to go along with it. And so I decided, well, I've never done this before, but I'll just make it an audio play just as if I were directing a movie, but just audio, and release it as a podcast. So that's where we are. Yeah. We have a Kickstarter, like you mentioned. There's a couple of days left in it, but we have already met our goal. But there's still time for people to give, and some people have thrown in some money to it, and I'm using that money basically just to pay voice actors and sound designers and composers and stuff like that to contribute to my dumb little project.
When did you come up with the idea for Sign Peaks and why?
Okay, so this is kind of fun. So I've been a fan of Seinfeld basically since I was 8 years old, did not actually start watching Twin Peaks. Really, it was you and Mr. Eric Von Hessler that inspired me to watch it. I would come into WSB. Yeah, okay. In fall of 2017, when The Return was on, I had still not watched any of Twin Peaks. And I would come in every morning, and while you guys were setting up for the podcast, Eric and you would just be talking about last night's episode on Mondays. And I said, well, okay, well, I'll give it a try. And binged the first two seasons of Twin Peaks from the 90s on Netflix, and then immediately went into Firewalk with Me and The Return. And I was just completely obsessed.
Amazing. It's the thing that you need that you didn't know you need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so wild. I mean, I could talk the entire time just about how crazy Twin Peaks is, but I won't do that.
Let me tell you this. I was in college when Twin Peaks started. Uh-huh. So not really watching a lot of television. And I do remember I like tuned in one night to watch it because everybody was talking about it. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, what the hell is this show? And this is insane. There's a dancing little person and he's walking backwards. So I didn't really buy into it. And it wasn't until later on when I went and rented all the videotapes. And I really literally had to carry them, this box of videotapes around with me.
Yeah.
And watched them. And then I got addicted to it because I liked David Lynch movies. I didn't understand the show, I guess, because I was just drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such good stuff. But yeah, you asked about the page. So I don't know. I think that was just kind of a trend on the internet, which, I mean, it still is, but to take, different shows and ideas and mash them up into memes and stuff. And I didn't see a whole lot of people doing Seinfeld and Twin Peaks. And that was my main obsession.
The Sopranos is the one I watch. I follow any Sopranos account like that in yours.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a few of those, too. So, yeah, I started that in like January 2018 and just started making dumb little mashups. And then people started sending me theirs. And before you knew it, had a Facebook group, had a couple of spinoff groups. And it's grown. I guess I have about 28,000 people following the page right now. And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. So what's going to happen what's going to happen with the script that you wrote? Are you going to break it up into mini episodes and release it as a podcast or is there a video element? And
yeah, again,
this is from your Kickstarter. Why don't you plug that? Right.
Sure. So,
be finished by the time this airs. So.
Yeah. Yeah. As of right now, as of the day we're recording this, April 18th, there are 14 days left. So if you happen to get to this before, I want to say March 5th, you're right. May 5th. Yeah.
Okay.
If you happen to get, I'll re-say that so you can edit that. If you happen to reach this before May 5th, you can, first start at my Instagram, instagram.com/signpeaks, click on the link in bio and the Kickstarter's at the top there.
Okay.
And you can give a little money. I'm giving out rewards like stickers and, early access to episodes and shirts and stuff. Cause I've got a whole shop with memes on t-shirts and whatnot that I can give away. And what the plan is, we're going to record it this summer. Mix it, add the music and all that. And I'm assuming it's going to be, when it's done, like a feature length, almost 3 hour thing. So I'm going to break that up into episodes. I'm guessing probably around 10 episodes. And at the end of each one, just like Twin Peaks, The Return, I'm going to bring on a band, like maybe an indie band or, you know, an indie musician or something like that, and give it like a Roadhouse performance element. Just music that I've found interesting on the internet. Some folks that follow the page, some of them that just have kind of a David Lynch kind of vibe to them. So there's going to be, you know, different elements to it. And I'm guessing it's going to be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts, it'll be out there. And like you said, it's called The Other Side of Darkness.
Seinfeld, The Other Side of Darkness. Now, a couple of months ago, I saw, I don't know who did it or how old it is, but somebody had done a thing mashing up, but they'd shot new footage of the characters from Seinfeld and kind of gave it a Twin Peaks thing. But I watched it and I couldn't really follow what was going on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. So this is, it was literally called Seinfeld The Return. I'm a big fan of this. This is by a guy named Dominic Nero, who is an editor, a video editor for one of the big online blogs, entertainment blogs. I can't remember, Slate or Vice or something like that. But what he did actually, he took footage from things that the main four from Seinfeld had been in over the years after Seinfeld. So with Jason Alexander, he took footage from his appearance on, it's one of those crime shows, one of those CSIs or something like that, that he was on. Jerry, he took some clips from Comedians in Cars, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from some movies she'd done. And he created a new story, just mashing up different scenes and mixing them around and putting them together, and kind of created like a Twin Peaks The Return, but with the cast of Seinfeld. And it was really experimental and really interesting. So something totally different from what I'm doing. And we kind of came up with our ideas independently and just started following each other and interacting with each other.
Oh, that's good. So yeah, there's no Seinfeld Twin Peaks rivalry mashup like
West. Not at all. Not at all. He got the attention of Jason Alexander, and a couple of the writers from Seinfeld retweeted that and said how impressed they were with it. So I'm hoping to get buzz like that with this thing. We'll see. But no, I'm really happy for him. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was neat. It was visually amazing. I just found it difficult for me to follow because I kind of like, oh, okay.
It was disjointed. And, you know, it's hard to make a story out of, you know, 20 different TV shows that are not related in any way and just taking scenes and putting them together. But it was pretty compelling.
I would have used Dustin Dunn. Not Dustin. Is it Dunstan?
Dunstan Checks In.
Checks In, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. I saw that before I ever saw Seinfeld. That's a classic. Paul Rubens is in that.
I know. I watched it twice in Chicago when I was stuck in a hotel. It was on in the morning and then the evening. I was up there for a job interview, and this is years ago, and I was in Chinatown and I got food poisoning. So not related, but I got food poisoning. And so I was stuck in this hotel in Chicago for 2 days, just, you know, what happens when you get food poisoning, in and out of fever dreams. And Dunstan Checks In was the bookmark of the day. In and out of So up until that point, I'd never seen it. Now it's one of my favorite films of all time. How many voice actors do you have? And have I been slated to do any of the voices? That's important for me to know.
Yes. Actually, so I haven't finalized the casting yet. I know for sure that I'm going to have you at least do the character of Mr. Lipman from Seinfeld. So to give the listeners kind of a scope, so this is currently a 150-page script that I'm still not done writing. I'm still adding scenes, but I've got about 50 characters, most of whom were originally in Seinfeld, with a few new characters that I've written. And I've got a couple of voice actors that may do multiples, but what I'm going to end up with is probably anywhere from 20 to 40 voice actors that I'm going to be casting in this thing. And I've been talking to people, getting auditions, figuring out, you know, I've got like a giant spreadsheet with, like, you know, all of my options and stuff. It's pretty complicated.
Cool. Well, you know, hell, I'll do more if you need to. I've been working. Uh-huh. I've been working on the what was Elaine's other boss's name? The catalog guy.
Oh, Jay Peterman.
Yeah, Jay Peterman. He's up to a lot of those voices. You'd think I'd be able to do, but I would try to do a lot of them. I'm like, I can't do that. Not that I can. It's just, but boy, you know, every character is different. George is based off of Larry David, but Larry David's voice is different.
Yep.
So I don't know. You ever watch the show Fridays?
I've seen a little. I've only seen bits on YouTube, like certain scenes. Like I've seen the famous scene with Michael Richards and Andy Kaufman, where the sort of the staged storming off set kind of thing. I've seen a couple of the other skits. I was a fan of what I saw, but I haven't seen that much.
Yeah, that show came on. I think I was probably sixth or seventh grade, and so that was the cool thing to do to stay up and watch that on Friday nights. But Larry David was one of my favorites on that show. And he looked so ridiculous because he had that big hair and he was so young, but it's still Larry David.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
So you, in addition to Sign Peaks and the work that you do at WSB, tell everybody what you do at WSB, you know, because it's a radio, it's a radio group. There's a bunch of radio stations in our group, but you do not radio stuff. Tell people what you do.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a video editor by trade, and I joined Cox Media Group in 2016. And right now I'm editing video for WSB, for all of our Atlanta radio stations that Cox owns, and then all across the country too. We have, I want to say, like 11 to 15 different markets that we operate in. And we're producing video content for all those. So it's me and one other guy putting together Zoom interviews and promotions for, you know, station giveaways and all different kinds of things like that. So we stay pretty busy there. We just did a whole lot of video content for the American Country Music Awards that's happening this weekend.
So you did it for the Country Music Awards?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. We artists that are talent interviewed. So we're going to post that content online.
It's amazing how much radio has changed. My first job in Atlanta that wasn't food was with a company called IQ TV. And all we did, now I got a job there in 97, January 97, and I worked there till 2000. We did television commercials for radio stations. So we would go into a market. If they wanted a custom campaign, we'd shoot it. And then we would offer, syndicated versions of the same spot. And that market is completely dead because people like you work for a radio group. There's no need for it. you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I always have trouble explaining what I do to people because even though social media is like so normal now, people still, they hear radio and they don't think that there's any kind of, visual element to it. But we're very busy because I think that's what every radio station wants to do. They want to make sure that people can see the faces of the folks they're talking to, because that's what I've always said is with the great strength of local radio is the local talent. Because you can listen to music anywhere, you can get your news anywhere, but you develop a bond with the voices that you hear on radio over the years.
And I think that you do a good job of working with the people on the other radio stations. Charlie on B98.5 and English Nick on our show on the Von Hessler Doctrine on WSB, but he's also midday guy over at the River.
Yeah.
Those videos, they look so good. They look like they were produced in a commercial, a production house. So
thanks.
Kudos to you. No, they do. They just do. And they look like they're filmed. I don't know what filter you use for that.
These days everyone's just shooting stuff on their cell phones and sending it to me over, Dropbox and WeTransfer. It was hard for me to do that at first, being a videographer and like wanting to get high quality video.
Right.
But I've gotten over it because these days people don't really care as much about that as long as they're interested in what people are talking about. And that's something that I've had to get used to because it's like, it's TikTok and Instagram and we're so used to social video that sometimes if it looks too polished and clean and, too set up from a studio element, it almost seems kind of phony.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the strength of it right now is that we have to do it that way. But it ends up, I think, forming a closer connection with the viewer.
Yeah. And I noticed this last year when I started doing the podcast on Zoom, the audio quality was terrible at first. And I was getting angry, but I was, it was disappointing and I didn't know what to do. I was thinking maybe I had to wrap it up. But then I started listening to all my favorite podcasts and they had the same problem. So
yeah.
We're all apparently like, well, it's all right. It drops out. We're in a pandemic. But it'd be nice to be able to get that Tim Pool. You know who Tim Pool is? Mm-mm. Tim Pool is a guy that started doing street reporting a couple of years ago. And now he has kind of a media empire. And he has a studio like Joe Rogan does or people sit in. And, not everybody's going to do that. But that would be nice to have, just to be able to sit down and talk to people and look them in the eye instead of the blogs and all that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you, I'm looking at you right now on my screen below the camera, but I feel like I have to look into my camera so that if someone's watching, it actually looks like it looks like I'm looking at you right now, but I'm not looking at you. Now I'm looking at you, but it doesn't look like I'm looking at you.
I know. So, and half the time I'm looking at the notes in front of me and hoping that he's not paying any attention.
No, I can't tell.
Notes and stuff. But I just had to put that in my head that this is the way things are and this is the way it's done. And
Yeah, I'm used to it by now, but I had the same problem because I'm a podcaster too. And at first it was a problem of figuring out what the heck do I need to use to make it sound good. And now I got like it's a cheap, you know, I don't know, $50 microphone that I bought off of Amazon. But at first I was just kind of like getting really close to my computer so that at least I didn't sound like I was talking far away on a cell phone or something right. like that. But yeah, it definitely took some getting used to, but I feel like people just kind of roll with it. They expect it now.
Well, thankfully my wife is a reporter and a weekend anchor at Fox 5. So she bought the ring light that I've appropriated for.
Oh yeah. I got one of those too.
And, this microphone that I have was given to me by our, not given to me, but, you know, given to me on loan from our engineers. And, you know, I kind of put this whole thing together. I went and got some, you know, clamps and I have a Rode thing. So it all works pretty well. Mm-hmm. But speaking of podcasts and you are a father, correct? Mm-hmm. How many kids do you have? Two or one?
Just one. I got a little 3-year-old boy.
You have a 3-year-old boy. So you're 3 years ahead of me. I am
50
and mm-hmm. my wife and I are about to give, well, she's going to give birth, but we're going to have our,
you're going to be there.
Yes, I will be there. And, we're going to have a boy and it's exciting. I mean,
oh, it is
in, you know, early on in life was afraid of it, but for the last, you know, couple of years I've been real excited. She's worked really, really, really hard on it and she's just been very brave, you know. That's overused a lot. And I'm not a person who, you know, says things like that, but she is. She's done mm-hmm. She's just put a lot of effort into it and hopefully everything will work out fine. I'm sure it will. But I'm excited as hell. So that means I'm gonna have to start diving into your other your podcast, which is called Dadsplaining. So tell everybody about Dadsplaining.
Yeah, sure. So Dadsplaining is a podcast that I started with my buddy Brandon in kind of mid 2018. We became dads around the same time and neither one of us kind of knew anything about it. We didn't have a whole lot of friends that were parents and we didn't really feel like reading a whole lot of books. So we just started a podcast and it was easy for me because I worked at WSB. So I had access to the studio and everything. And, you know, they would pay the podcast hosting costs. So, you know, it was an easy decision for me to do because I didn't have to put a whole lot of effort into it. But every week we would just come in and start talking about like what's new with our little 3-month-olds and, you know, what are we having to figure out what to do? And it kind of forced us to do some research on, you know, how do you swaddle the kid? What's the best way to handle, you know, breastfeeding, potty training, that kind of stuff. So every week we would just do research on new topics and put it in podcast form and have been doing that basically once a week ever since. We took a break for a few weeks when the pandemic started, what we figured out how to do it virtually. But now we're still doing it, you know, me from this little closet every week and my buddy Brandon from his house in Decatur.
And do you have a good response to the podcast?
Yeah. It's been going strong. Whoa. Because some firms don't share their, you know, metrics the same as others, but on Spotify, I know we have a little over 900 followers now. We have some folks that will listen to us on Apple Podcasts and we're on social media. So on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, that's where we'll get a lot of people reaching out to us. Like new dads will send us messages and say, hey, I just started listening to you guys. I got a kid due in a couple of months and I'm freaking out. I have no idea what to do. So I've just been binging your episodes over the past, you know, couple of weeks and, you know, now I'm feeling a lot better, that kind of thing. So that's kind of how we know that we're doing a good job is, you know, when we get messages like that.
Did you start before your son was born?
We didn't start recording. We came up with the idea. I think right before my son was born, I started thinking about it. And then after he was born, after I got back from, I took a couple of weeks off work, I started talking to my buddy about it. So it was before his son was born because he was 6 months behind me. And we started recording in like May-ish. My son was born in November, so he was 6 months old by then. And started releasing them in August of 2018 when he was almost a year old. We wanted to take some time and do some editing and make sure we had it right. But no, it was kind of in those early days where, you know, you don't really sleep a whole lot in the first few weeks and then kind of you get into a groove with it.
That's
it feels crazy. You feel like you're not going to survive not getting enough sleep. And then things level out a little bit and you get used to it and, you know, you get into a groove.
It's funny, 40 years ago, I remember my brother was born. I was 10. Mm-hmm. And so when I would go visit my dad, I slept in the same room as the crib. So I was up all night long. I mean, this is nothing new to me. I just didn't have to change diapers. And I didn't have to do anything except just, can I please go back to sleep? But I am looking forward to it. And I'm going to go back and start in on your podcast. I think it's something that I need to add into to my life. It's better than the Dr. Spock book. You know, was it Dr.
Yeah.
Spock?
It's the it is. Yeah.
Raising Arizona is the criminals. John
Goodman. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Dr. Shears, Dr. Spock. Shears. I forget it. You got to have your tip. And I used to be able to quote that movie like you wouldn't believe. All right. Well, Jesse, if you again, if you need any other voices, you know, we'll work together here. And
oh yeah, no, you're going to be in the mix, man. I just got to figure out where to put you for sure.
But that's not why I brought you on. I thought this would be very interesting. I want people to if you're not following Sign Peaks on Instagram, go there, and you know the link tree. You can find all the links from that Instagram page. But I'm really impressed with your link tree. I'm going to have to sign up for these.
Thanks.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you want to do that, I mean, it's free. You could pay a little extra and get like analytics off of how many people are clicking on stuff and everything. But it's a really free, easy kind of service.
Well, the podcast is called Dadsplaining, and it's all about being a dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope it applies to old farts like me who are going to be first time dads. Good, good. I have this little book here called We're Parents, The New Dad's Guide to Baby's First Year.
Nice.
But maybe it'll help. Both in my life, but also Sign Peaks. And when can we look forward to The Other Side of Darkness?
I am hoping to have that done by this fall. I'm looking at maybe September. Having never done something this big, I don't know exactly how long it's going to take to record and edit. But we're going to be probably recording in mid-May and then kind of taking a few months to finish recording and edit, and I may do a little focus groups to figure out exactly how to make it sound good, so people are going to listen to the whole thing, how long the episode should be, that kind of thing. But I'm looking at this fall to release.
Awesome. And then come back on and when it's out, and we'll promote it again. But in the meantime, all the links that we're talking about will be in the show notes. And Jesse, thanks for spending a half hour with me talking about it. I'm excited for this because those are both of two of my favorite shows. So mashing them up. I mean, come on. And you do a good job about it. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to slap these memes together. Jesse puts a lot of effort into it.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, you're welcome. And I hope to see you. When are you going to be back at the station, or have I seen you yet?
I pop in once every couple of months. Usually it's just to grab a camera or set up a webcam for somebody. They don't send me in a whole lot because a lot of my work is not for our Atlanta stations. Mm-hmm. So I don't currently have a planned return to work date. I would guess it might be this summer or this fall, unless they just decide that things are going so well, they don't want to, you know, put me back. I don't know. But I pop in sometimes. And, if I'm in there, when you're in there, I'm going to pop in and say hello. Absolutely.
All right. Please do. Thank you for coming on Radio Labyrinth, and, best of luck with everything, Jesse. I'll see you soon or talk to you soon.
Absolutely. And let me extend a preliminary invitation to you to come on Dadsplaining, once your son's in the world and you want to do some talking about it, we'd love to have you on.
I think I would love that. I will need it. I'm sure.
All right. All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Take care. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us longer. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm going to send them. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red. I don't want the red box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors. Those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits. That's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number five on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know, what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.